Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Friday, March 15th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On today's episode, the special prosecutor resigns in the Georgia election interference case following the judge's ruling saying that either he or Fulton County DA Fani Willis would need to be removed from the case. Asian American lawmakers remember the victims on the third anniversary of the Atlanta spa shootings, and this weekend celebrates the 200th anniversary of one of the country's most famous St. Patrick's Day parades. Those stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The special prosecutor who was involved in a romantic relationship with the district attorney overseeing Georgia's election interference case has resigned. The special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, stepped down hours after the judge in the case, Scott McAfee, ordered Fulton County DA Fani Willis either to resign or remove Wade. Attorney and legal analyst Ron Chapman says the resignation means Willis takes on the entire case herself.
And she's going to have to find a replacement, which is going to be very, very difficult. Many attorneys in that area are conflicted out, and I don't know of a single lawyer who's going to raise their hands to stand in front of the kind of fire that that person is likely to face.
In his order this morning, McAfee said both Willis and Wade on the case together presents a perception of compromising influences. The state Senate is backing major reforms to how Georgia regulates construction for hospital and medical services. Senators yesterday approved changes to the state's contentious Certificate of Need law, 43-11. Athens State Senator Republican Bill Cowsert says the bill is a middle ground between repealing the law entirely and doing nothing.
We are trying to help rural health care and areas that are getting insufficient medical treatment. We call them health care deserts.
Some Democrats voted against it, calling instead for expanding Georgia Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act. Georgia's U.S. senators are demanding answers after reports of missing and delayed mail in Metro Atlanta. Senator John Ossoff launched an inquiry with USPS Postmaster General Louis DeJoy on Thursday. In a letter to DeJoy, he wrote, quote, "The timely delivery of mail across the nation is a vital public service," unquote. The reported delays stem from the Palmetto Processing and Distribution Center. Georgia's labor commissioner says he's seriously ill with cancer. Republican Bruce Thompson said today he was diagnosed on Tuesday with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which has spread to his liver. Thompson says he's waiting for more information, including a final prognosis for chemotherapy. The first-term Republican says he'll continue his work as labor commissioner. Thompson was a 4-term state senator representing a district of North Atlanta before winning election as labor commissioner in 2022. Saturday marks the third anniversary of a series of Atlanta-area spa shootings that claimed the lives of 8 people. GPB's Sarah Kalish reports on how a group of Asian American lawmakers are remembering the victims.
State lawmakers in the Asian American and Pacific Islander Caucus read the names of the victims at a press conference at the state capitol on Thursday. They also called for an end to gun violence. Representative Ro Roman says that lawmakers need to find ways to prevent more tragedy.
It is incumbent upon us as elected officials to address this emergency because it is an emergency. Whether it's gun violence or violence against women, there are things we can do that do not involve scapegoating immigrants and further exacerbating dangers against them.
6 of the 8 victims in the shootings were Asian women. The shooter is facing hate crime charges in Fulton County. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the state capitol.
Dangerously high levels of E. coli bacteria have been detected in the Chattahoochee River from untreated wastewater. The Chattahoochee Riverkeeper detected high levels of the bacteria during a routine river monitoring. They were able to track the source to the City of Atlanta's R.M. Clayton Water Reclamation Center. The Riverkeeper is urging people to stay out of the river downstream of the Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area. This is the second major failure at a major wastewater treatment plant in the metro Atlanta area in less than a year. This month marks 4 years since Georgia confirmed its first case of COVID-19. But for an Atlanta couple, the virus impacted them much sooner. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has their story.
Atlanta residents Renee and Clyde Smith were among the first Americans to contract the virus in February of 2020 while passengers on the Diamond Princess cruise ship. The couple, now 84 years old, spent 3 weeks quarantining in Japan. The Smiths were celebrating their wedding anniversary with an international trip. They've now been married almost 65 years. Clyde says they are grateful to the Japanese people and were lucky to receive medical care there.
They covered the entire cost, and that wouldn't happen here. If we were in here in a hospital for 3.5 weeks, as we were there, we'd have been wiped out financially.
The Smiths say they've kept up with every update of the COVID vaccine and have sore arms after getting a booster shot this week. Renee Smith says she is still practicing preventative measures because she caught COVID again.
Oh, I did, about 1.5 years ago. Maybe even longer ago than that. It was during the summer, and Paxlovid saved me. I never did go to the hospital or anything. I was very, very sick.
The Smiths are planning to travel to England later this year. It will be the first trip outside the United States for the couple since 2020. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Two projects that are meant to connect Atlanta's neighborhoods are getting federal funding. The Stitch, a planned 14-acre green space over Interstate 75 and 85 that would reconnect the district divided by the downtown connector in the 1950s, got $157 million to fund the first phase of construction. The Flint River Trail also got $50 million to connect communities around Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. The funding comes from the Inflation Reduction Act. Macon's International Cherry Blossom Festival kicked off its 42nd year today. Events tonight include the Cherry Blossom Ball and the Ocmulgee Mounds National Historical Park Lantern Tour. The Pinkest Party on Earth will wrap up on March 24th when rock icons Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top appear on a tour stop to open the new Atrium Health Amphitheater. The city claims to be home to 350,000 cherry trees, a phenomenon that began with one tree in the backyard of a local businessman in 1949. The city of Savannah is making final preparations for tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day Parade, one of the largest in the country. Celebrating its 200th anniversary, the procession is likely to draw a record crowd. Savannah Mayor Van Johnson advises revelers to bring their own trash bags and pack in, pack out, whatever they bring into the historic district. He wants parade goers not to leave litter for city sanitation workers.
It's amazing the tons of trash that they pick up, every single bottle, every single styrofoam cup. And by the way, we hate styrofoam. Do not bring styrofoam. I might ticket you myself if you bring styrofoam into downtown.
Irish heritage runs deep in Savannah. GPB's Benjamin Payne tagged along on a special historical tour to find out where it all began as the city celebrates the bicentennial of its very first St. Patrick's Day parade.
Walking tours in downtown Savannah typically start somewhere pretty, perhaps along a quaint cobblestone street or beneath the Spanish moss of a live oak tree. But this is not your typical tour. This one starts outside a parking garage. There's good reason, though.
It would have been directly across from us where the first Cathedral of Savannah is built.
That's lawyer and tour guide Brandon Carter, debuting a niche historical tour about Savannah's very first public St. Patrick's Day parade held March 17, 1824.
So this is where it all starts, 200 years ago.
The original St. John the Baptist Church used to stand here on the west side of downtown Savannah, at the corner of what is now Montgomery and State Street. It was here that a crowd of not just Irish Catholics, but also Protestants and Jews came together to hear a speech from
Bishop John England. So ironically, John England was born in Ireland. He goes to a Protestant school as a kid, and he must have not been well liked by his teacher because his teacher called him the, quote, little papist.
Papist meaning Roman Catholic.
He goes into the priesthood. He gains the name the Steam Bishop because of how aggressive he was in spreading Catholicism.
But Carter says England's goal in Savannah was not to convert folks to Catholicism. Rather, it was to promote national unity and religious freedom.
He says, "We, my friends, may differ very much in our religious doctrines, yet we live in the harmony of affection, each representing the rights of his friend and claiming for himself what he concedes to his brother." So again, religious freedom. He's lamenting the loss of religious freedom in Ireland, but he's saying that America is doing it right. That's why they're here.
After the bishop's speech, the crowd marches through downtown, led by a group called the Hibernian Society of Savannah, which still exists today.
So it's formed in 1812, so 12 years before the first parade, formed by 44 men. They consisted of Catholics, but also Protestants, and at least one Jewish member as well. They were formed for, quote, the relief of the indigent and exiled Irishman to promote social and friendly harmony among the members of said association.
Unfortunately, the precise route of their inaugural parade was not documented by newspapers at the time. But Carter's tour takes in many chapters of Irish history between the church and the parade's known endpoint, City Hotel. Today it's Moon River Brewing Company on Bay Street.
About 80 people attended the first St. Patrick's Day dinner here. They even hung a banner from the front of City Hotel, and it had a, quote, female figure clothed in green and her brows intertwined with a wreath of a shamrock playing upon a harp. And it said above it, Erin Ma Vernin, Erin Go Bragh, which means Ireland my darling and Ireland forever.
Carter leads his guests down to the cavernous basement.
All right, guys, feel free to grab a seat. I got a couple over here beside me as well.
Banquet tables are laid out, setting the stage not just for a historical tour, but a historical toast. Well, not just one.
Now, we will deliver the 13 toasts, first heard in this building 200 years ago. So we are not only observing history, we're now becoming part of history because these very walls have not heard what we're about to say in 200 years. Toast number one, to the day we celebrate. May every return of it find us true to the object for which we are associated, to St. Patrick's Day.
The remaining 12 toasts take a while to get through, but here's a crowd favorite.
To the state of Georgia, she takes Irishmen into her bosom, and Ireland never yet bred a viper. I love that.
After reciting the final toast, dedicated to public education, Carter adds a quick one of his own.
To us for doing this. To us.
The 200th anniversary Savannah St. Patrick's Day Parade is Saturday, starting at 10:15 a.m. from the corner of Abercorn and Gwinnett Street. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
Savannah isn't the only Georgia community celebrating St. Patrick's Day weekend. There are festivities planned across the state. Braselton has the St. Patrick's Day Path Fest. The St. Patty's Day Rock Fest is incoming. The Suwannee Beer Fest is Gwinnett County's largest St. Patrick's Day party. Savannah, as we said, will host its St. Patrick's Day Parade and Festival on Saturday. And in Brunswick, they have the annual St. Patrick's Day 5K and Beer Mile. And Dublin, yes, that Dublin, the Dublin in Georgia, they'll celebrate their St. Patrick's Day Festival through the end of the month. And aside from that, this weekend we have the 2024 Foliage Festival happening in Jefferson. There's the Lake Oconee Food and Wine Festival, the Wild Chicken Festival in Fitzgerald, and not to be left out among all the other festivals this weekend is the Scottish Heritage Days taking place in Darien. And a happy St. Patrick's Day to you wherever you are. I hope you celebrate the big green day somehow this weekend with something green in your life. That's it today for this edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to find out more about these stories, visit our website, gpb.org/news. We'd like you to hit subscribe on this podcast. That way you always stay current with us in your feed. And if you have feedback, send that to us as well. We'd love to hear from you at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for tuning in.